Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do. Every Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves with SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. I hope you all had a very wonderful, healthy, prosperous weekend. I know that we watched a lot of football over the last several days. Obviously, I'm going to get into a little college football a little bit later on in the show. Definitely got a lot of NFL action to talk about. I am coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Steel City, site of tonight's AFC wildcard game between the Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers, scheduled to air on ESPN tonight at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the Steelers will try to go up against a monster of a defense led by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. I mean, just piranhas coming at you, combining for 27 sacks this year. I have to tell you right now, as a lifelong diehard Steelers fan, I'm not going to front. I'm very, very worried and very, very nervous. I've got my staff. I've got people sitting here laughing at me, chuckling, because they know, even though I stuck out my chest with some bravado on national television earlier this morning, thinking about the Steelers figuring out a way that the Steelers was going to win this game, I ain't going to lie to you. I was fronting. I mean, I'm still going to stick with my pick as the Steelers winning, but I ain't going to act like I'm not nervous about it, because I'm very, very nervous. And the reason I'm very, very nervous is because I'm trying to figure out how the Steelers going to score on these brothers. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to score, because I'm here to tell you something right now. It don't look promising. The Houston Texans are the number one defense in the National Football League. You don't run against them. You don't pass against them. They hunt for you. And Aaron Rodgers for the Pittsburgh Steelers is a stationary target. He's 41 years of age. He's a senior citizen in NFL parlance, okay? He's an immobile individual. He can't run the way that he used to. He can sidestep here or there inside the pocket, but in the end, he ain't scrambling any damn place. They're going to hunt for him. DeMeco Ryans is an elite coach in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, even though he's your head coach in Houston. But I'm very, very big on dudes that live up to what got them the job in the first place as a head coach. If you are offensive or a defensive coordinator, I can't stand when you use that to get a head coaching job, and then all of a sudden, the very thing that you were successful at as a coordinator, you forget to make sure you cement as the head coach. That is not what DeMeco Ryan has done. When you look at DeMeco Ryan and what he brings to the table, the reality is that this brother, DeMeco Ryan, and what he brings to the table, that defense is something special. Bottom line is that when I think about this game tonight, the Steelers could win, meet DK Metcalf, courtesy of missing the last two games because of a two-game suspension and almost blew the playoffs for them. He's back here. He's back in the lineup. He'll be available tonight. Let's see what he does. He's got some making up to do. He almost blew the Steelers a playoff opportunity and sent them home for the season. Luckily, that did not happen because they were able to win the regular season finale, okay? So we're happy about that, beating the Baltimore Ravens, even though they lost to Cleveland Browns a week before. But in the end, here's what it comes down to. If you're the Steelers, can you score enough points? And can you limit C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and those brothers? Houston shouldn't be able to run the football on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And even though C.J. Stroud is accurate when you give him time to throw, he shouldn't have that much time to throw. Not against this Steelers defense. He should be better. I mean, the Steelers' defense should get the best of him, I'm sorry. So that's how I'm looking at it. But I'll get into all of that as the show progresses today, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. Got to get to some of the games this weekend, because there's no way to avoid it. The Philadelphia Eagles are no longer the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. That has come to an end, courtesy of a 23-19 loss to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday afternoon at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Before we get into the Philadelphia Eagles, let's give credit where credit is due. And I personally have to give credit to Representative Eric Swalwell out of California, out of the 14th District in California, who's running for the gubernatorial seat in California because he's a diehard San Francisco 49ers fan. And he was trolling me last night for hours about how he told me that San Francisco 49ers was going to win this game. I didn't see it coming, y'all. I didn't see it coming. And the reason I didn't see it coming is because I watched Seattle beat up on San Francisco pretty good a week before. I watched them beat them up. And I said, you've been softened up, and now you got to travel 3,000 miles or nearly 3,000 miles across the country to go play the Philadelphia Eagles after being softened up. And I said, there's just no way that they're going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not going to happen. And sure enough, without Nick Bosa, without Fred Warner, without Ricky Purcell, without Brandon Ayuk, and ultimately, without George Kittle, your star tight end who got carted off the field in the second quarter with what would later be learned to be an Achilles tear, the Niners went on the road against the defending champions and with Brock Purdy, with Christian McCaffrey, with Robert Saleh's defense, they upset the defending Super Bowl champions, outscoring the Eagles 13-3 in the fourth quarter, by the way. And that reverse that ultimately led to Jennings throwing a touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I can't say enough. I can't say enough about the greatness of Coach Mike Shanahan. Or Kyle Shanahan, I'm sorry. I can't say enough. I really, really can't. When you look at Kyle Shanahan and Ayuk is out and all the names, other names I mentioned is out, and Deebo Samuel departed for Washington, and you see the way Kyle Shanahan has coached these brothers and the way they find a way to get the job done. I just can't say enough about them. Do you understand that if Kyle Shanahan wins this upcoming weekend, it'll be the 49ers' fifth trip to the NFC Championship game in the last 7 years? Do you realize that? Do you realize the greatness of a Kyle Shanahan when it comes to that? Now, I'm somebody that religiously held against him the 28-3 lead that he blew as an offensive coordinator in Atlanta. All right, against the New England Patriots when they lost the Super Bowl because you didn't run the football enough. You kept throwing the football, and it kept stopping the clock when you would incomplete a pass, and it gave the Patriots time to come back when you had a 25-point lead against them. I'm the one that religiously points out how when the Super Bowl comes, he's got a double-digit lead, and somehow he's blown not once but two of them to the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I got to stop doing that because when you are this good of a coach, when you click all the right buttons, when you find a way to get stuff done the way Kyle Shanahan has gotten it done, what do you say? What do you say? I'm just of the mindset that I'm just looking at him right now. You know, you got Purdy, Brock Purdy, who, by the way, is cool as ice under pressure. 262 yards passing, two touchdowns. All right, even though he threw two interceptions, I got it. You got McCaffrey, who's a reliable weapon, 114 yards from scrimmage and two scores. You got DeMarcus Robinson, who had 111 receiving yards and a touchdown, all right? And by the way, DeMarcus Robinson, he's generated just 276 yards and 22 catches and one touchdown in 14 games, but managed to have 111 yards yesterday. I'm just, Kyle Shanahan, man. Kyle Shanahan. And as a result, I'm looking at them now. 49ers, a combined 7-0 in wild card and divisional playoff games under Kyle Shanahan. 7-0 in wild card and divisional playoff games. The man is just special. Let's just call it what it is. And I got to look at that and I got to give respect where respect is due and just say, hey, he could easily be a coach of the year candidate as well. Why shouldn't he be? Considering all the injuries that the San Francisco 49ers have had and somehow, someway, they're still there. Now, let me get to the Eagles, though. Ladies and gentlemen, expect change in Philadelphia. Not with head coach Nick Sirianni, but you're definitely going to have a new offensive coordinator. There's no way around it. Kevin Petullo was awful this year. There's no way around it. When you have everybody and their grandmother talking about how predictable your offense is week after week after week, and little to no change has occurred, you don't get to come back from that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And when we think about Kevin Petullo and the Philadelphia Eagles offense, it got to a point yesterday you were looking at just Jalen Hurts. And you just said, you looked at his face and he was looking at them like, you really calling that? You really calling that play? A.J. Brown getting into it on the sideline with Nick Sirianni. Listen, I don't like stuff publicized on the sidelines like that. And I get that part, but I'm a bit sympathetic to A.J. Brown. I don't like the fact that you talking all year long or you sending cryptic messages all year long, but all of a sudden the season ends and you walk out the locker room without doing an interview. Now, we all know that A.J. Brown's career in Philadelphia is over. He's gone. He wants out. He wants out. And in all likelihood, the Eagles want him out. So I get it. I understand it. But still, you could have done an interview post-game. Philadelphia Eagles, what do you say? They pointed out a stat where Jalen Hurts lined up behind center 7 times yesterday. And all 7 times, they ran the football. You're not being creative. You're not being innovative. You're not throwing a monkey wrench into the game plan. You're not doing any trick plays. You're not doing anything. The offense has been inconsistent all year long. After the Eagles scored touchdowns on 2 of their first 3 possessions, they went without a touchdown over their final 7 drives. 4 punts, 2 field goals, and a turnover on downs. That's what the Eagles did. With A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with your offensive line, with Saquon Barkley in the backfield, that's all the hell you could do. The 49ers have had defensive problems all season long in terms of their inconsistencies, but you couldn't do anything against them. And Jalen Hurts completing just 57% of his passes for 168 yards. That's relatively anemic. A postseason career low, 4.8 yards per pass attempt. 1 touchdown pass, 1 sack, a 79 passer rating. I mean, damn. It's a damn shame. The Eagles lost because they were transparent. The Eagles lost because you could close your eyes, take a nap, wake up, walk around with blindfolders on, and still figure out what the hell the Eagles offense was going to do, because they didn't do anything to disrupt your level of thinking. There's a lot to get into, and I'm going to get into it all. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
19 minutes past hour number 1 back here at Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. A couple of other games I want to get into before I get to the calls on the line, because it's necessary to bring this up. Staying in the NFC. Are we done talking about Caleb Williams with hesitancy, with negligence, with negativity? Are we done? Are we done? Are we done? Because I'm watching a second-year quarterback playing for his 3rd head coach and his 4th offensive coordinator. That's how he started the season with. And I'm watching this kid now orchestrate and engineer 7 comebacks in the final 2 minutes of regulation to lead the Chicago Bears to victory. You know when's the last time that was done? We wouldn't know because, ladies and gentlemen, the last time anything close to that was being done was 1970 merger. You just don't see that. Are we done questioning whether he was worthy of being the number 1 overall pick? Are we still going to sit up here and act like it's automatic that Jaden Daniels is the quarterback you choose ahead of Caleb Williams? Are we done? Because I'm here to tell you, that brother is special. He is something special to behold. Make no mistake about it. It's who he is. It's what he brings to the table. Caleb Williams, what is it, like 164 yards in the 4th quarter? Overcame a 15-point deficit. They were down 21-6. 2 touchdowns. This brother is legit. Call him the Iceman. Is that his nickname? Because he goes like this when something great happens. He's special. He's special. And I got news for you. I'm here to be bold. I think the Chicago Bears, it ain't going to be this year. I think the Chicago Bears can get set to win its first title since 1985. I know you got to a Super Bowl in 2006 before Peyton Manning sent you home. But I'm telling you right now, first of all, this is the best quarterback, Caleb Williams. Already, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge anybody to refute me on this. This is already the best quarterback in Chicago Bears history. This is already the best quarterback in Chicago Bears history. And by the way, he's thick, got an NFL body, got an arm, can throw it anywhere, which is very important when you're playing in the Windy City, particularly in November, December, and January. Oh, but by the way, the brother can run. And that throw, what was it, like 4th and 8, if I remember correctly? And who was that pass to? That when he scrambled to his left and threw it off balance? Odunze, that's right. Rome Odunze. Let me tell you something. I challenge anybody, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Stroud, Lawrence, Burrow. Who have you seen throw a pass better than that? Who? Brother special. Brother special. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this. It ain't even the skill set and the level of production that's impressing me about this kid. You know what I loved most? How he was emulating Tom Brady on the sidelines. Tom Brady goes off, going off on folks. Folks look at him, and they're like, yo, he's passionate. He's passionate. Right? Other folks get labeled angry, but that's not the point here. The point is, Caleb Williams was calling cats out on the sideline. Cussing, going to hell off, getting in people's face, and all of them. Nobody even pushed back. They know who the leader is. They know who their leader is. And this brother holding people accountable, and what the Chicago Bears look like, they don't play no damn defense in the first half. Come out, Dennis Allen switches things up, gets away from being transparent his own damn self, keeping them in man-to-man situations, and obviously as a result, he changed things up, and it kind of disrupted Green Bay. And all they could muster the rest of the way was a couple of field goals. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams and these boys did their thing. And they came back and they won this game. And now they're going to host the Rams in a divisional playoff game in Chicago this weekend. Chicago, I don't think they have the defense to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. But there ain't no talk about their quarterback any longer. And there's no talk about their head coach, Ben Johnson, who is fantastic. Now, I didn't like how he quickly shook Matt LaFleur's hand at the end of the game. Show some class. I know you didn't like what he did when you were in Detroit those years and he was getting the better of you as the head coach of Green Bay. I get that part. But in the same breath, it ain't no big deal. It's nothing to, you know, it's nothing to write home about too much. But it's like, you know, you're the head coach. You can show a little more class than that. You can. You could do that. Okay? You really, really could. I know you coming for him. And you stated that in your introductory press conference that you was coming for him, that you wanted to beat Matt LaFleur. You said it by name, and we got that. And you beaten him in 2 of the 3 meetings you met up with him. But Matt LaFleur, he shows class. Ben Johnson could do that too. All right? You can do that. That's not hard. Let me transition to the AFC real quick. This is the best chance, one could easily argue, that Josh Allen has of getting to the Super Bowl. And everybody's watching him because guess what? There's no Patrick Mahomes standing in his way. There's no Lamar Jackson standing in his way. And oh, by the way, when the Buffalo Bills have lost Super Bowls in recent, in recent memory, you know how I am. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be because of you. And sure enough, Josh Allen has never allowed it to be because of him. Josh Allen has always shown up and played like the stud that he is. Always. And yesterday was no different. Bills beat the Jaguars 27-24. First time in my life I ever saw a 10-yard tush push. The tush push got 10 yards on the damn play. But Josh Allen was terrific when it really, really counted. Rushed for 2 touchdowns, threw another 273 yards, completed 28 of 35 passes. Expected better from Trevor Lawrence, even though he threw 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. What's up with that? Trevor Lawrence, former number 1 overall pick himself. Josh Allen was 7th. Trevor Lawrence was number 1, not the same draft, but you get what I'm saying. The point is, you expect more. And you didn't get it. And Jacksonville was having a pretty good year. They went from 4-13 to 13-4. Liam Cohen, Coach of the Year candidate, did a hell of a job. And they didn't get blown out of anything. They was right in this game. But they couldn't close the deal. And Josh Allen just does what Josh Allen does. And the Buffalo Bills are advancing to Denver for the divisional playoff game. But still in all, everybody's looking at Josh Allen. They're saying, ain't no Patrick Mahomes, ain't no Lamar Jackson, ain't no Joe Burrow. What you going to do? That's what they're saying. And Josh Allen's going to have to answer those questions. He's going to have to answer that call. There ain't no way around it. That's just the way that it goes sometimes. And he's going to have to figure it out. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to the phones. Stephen in New York, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Go, you go, Stephen. How you doing? You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
I have a question for you. Have any of your relatives called you for tickets for the college playoff game?
No, they have not.
Because the ticket prices are beyond insane. I mean, it's like they're making it like it's not the game of the year, the game of the last 100 years. What is going on? I mean, the cheap seats are $4,000.
Let me say this to you. That is unfortunate. But how much you want to make a bet? Somebody's going to buy them.
Why is this game so much in demand?
What is going on? It's a national championship game. It's Miami playing in Miami. So everybody in these surrounding parts want to be at this game. Make no mistake about it. That's why.
But the Indiana fans are very rich.
I understand it. Well, that means they can afford it, could they? Can't they?
No, but it's like they have to pay $10,000 for two seats.
Sir, you're talking, but you're not listening. Listen to me, okay?
Yeah.
The market dictates that. That's what capitalism is. If you go, you ever see the hotels, for example, and the price is, you know, hypothetically speaking, it'll be $500,000. And then the Super Bowl is going to be there. All of a sudden, it's $1,500.
I saw that. Yeah.
I'm just saying it happens. So the market dictates that. So if they weren't, if they didn't believe that they could get those tickets sold, they wouldn't do it. But you best believe that stadium, Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, is going to be filled to capacity for the national championship game a week from tonight. I promise you that. Now, by the way, while we're speaking about it, I'm very worried. You know, I don't like blowouts in championship games. What I'm seeing from Indiana, they are annihilating the competition. I mean, Dan Lanning, we respect him and the great things that he has accomplished at Oregon. They got their asses kicked. It was a romp. And he was completely outclassed as a coach as well, if we're keeping it a buck and being honest about it. I mean, you talk about the luster dimming from one shine. That's Dan Lanning after what happened Friday night. It wasn't a game. It was 28-7 at halftime. It was 56-22 at the end of the game. They got destroyed. And I got news for you. I don't know what's going to happen with Miami. I was loving the idea of Miami going up against Indiana until I saw Indiana do worse to Oregon what it did to Alabama, and Oregon was the fifth-ranked team in the nation.
It was a royal ass-kicking.
What?
7-0 after 11 seconds.
Of course, yeah, that's just a pick six. That's a pick six. I got that part, but I saw the pick six. Well, what I'm saying to you, I turned it off at halftime because I knew there was no way that Oregon was coming back. And you talk about somebody's stock. I mean, he's going to go number two overall, but you talk about Dante Moore. I mean, ain't nobody thinking about him right now. Ain't no debate now about who's going to be the number one overall pick. It's going to be Mendoza. Yeah. Anybody think about Dante Moore after this? That was a thorough ass-kicking. And Cignetti, I know he's a great coach, but ain't Dan Lanning supposed to be a great coach? What the hell happened? What the hell happened? I mean, this is pretty damn bad. This is pretty damn bad.
Really?
That was a royal ass kicking. I expected more from Oregon. Now, I'm just praying that Miami can make this a game because Indiana looks that superior compared to everybody else. They're the only team with a bye that won. And I mean, when you see what they did to Alabama, it ain't like they treated Alabama and Oregon like they were Tulane and James Madison.
the group of five teams. That's how Indiana treated them. Two of the top 10 teams in the country. It was an annihilation. I'm just praying for a game right now. And Bain and Macedon and those brothers, they better find a way to get to Mendoza. Because if you give this brother time to pass, he's gonna pick you apart. And Indiana fans, you are absolutely right. They got some money out there in the Midwest now. Those seats are going to be full. I promise you, it ain't going to be an empty seat in the house coming a week from tonight. Because these folks down here, in Miami, I'm in Pittsburgh, of course, but these folks here in Miami and its surrounding parts, they are hyped as hell. But I promise you, the ones that are super hyped didn't watch Indiana Friday night. Because if you watched Indiana Friday night, your whole mentality changed. You're like, oh, damn. Are we going to have a game? Is it going to be competitive? Because it was that kind of ass kicking that we witnessed. I mean, they're kicking people's ass so badly. You got cats like Ty Simpson going to the NFL draft. He's like, I ain't standing around here for this ass kicking again next year. That's what that was about. See, we ain't debating that. We talking about him going to the NFL. You ain't going to be a top two pick. You ain't going to be a top 10 pick in all likelihood. But you race it to the NFL draft because it may get worse. Ohio State, Michigan, the last two national champions out of the Big Ten did not look like this. Not like this. Indiana looks scary. And I'm telling you right now, if they blow Miami out in a national championship game, the whole college football landscape is going to be worried because it's going to be like, who the hell is going to compete with Indiana? Because that's how formidable they look, even though Mendoza's leaving. It's something to think about. I'm just telling you. It's something to think about. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call up this 888-623-3646. Sam in Utah, you're live with Stephen A. What's going on, Sam? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
You know, I was always taught growing up that the real, like, characteristic...
Hold on. Stop for a second. I need you to take a deep breath, and then I need you to speak louder so my audience can hear you sitting there sounding like a monster. It's an offer. You can't refuse.
That's why I sound like...
You
got
to do better than that. What's up?
That's my voice, but okay.
I'm just saying, talk louder. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about the raspiness.
Now?
Talking about talk louder. Go ahead.
Is this better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was taught growing up that the real characteristic of a man is when he's able to admit when he is wrong. And I called you, or we talked a couple months ago about Caleb Williams, how I told you he was going to be a bust, how I wasn't going to work with Ben Johnson. And I got to tell you, on that 4th-and-8 throw that he made, I knew I had to call you up this morning and tell you I was wrong. I was dead wrong on Caleb Williams. And I just wanted to call you up and tell you, admit that, you know.
Okay. I understand, man. Listen, that's very, very big of you. That's very, very big of you. I applaud you for it. I thank you for it. But you know you really had no choice, right? You know you had no choice. Because Caleb Williams, he's a bad brother, Sam. He's a bad brother. I'm just telling you that right now. There's no question about it. So I appreciate the call, and you are right. When a man can admit he's wrong, that is a very, very big thing. No question about it. So I appreciate you doing that. That was very kind of you. That was very nice of you. By the way, getting back to Mendoza, he's getting ready to get set to go up against Carson Beck versus top 25 opponents this season. Mendoza's undefeated at 5-0. Beck is undefeated at 7-0. It's pretty even statistics here. 77 completion compared to 72. Passing yards, 215 to 223. Touchdown passes, 15 to 16 in favor of Beck. Interceptions, 2-4 in favor of Mendoza. But Mendoza in two college football playoff games this postseason, 31-36, completing 86% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, not a single interception. And he's got more touchdowns than incompletions in the two college football playoffs as well. That's Mendoza. Greg in Michigan, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Stephen A., it's Mr. Positive. Boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka. Man. What's going on, man?
Oh, my God. Josh Elvis Allen could do what Caleb Williams did. He's the only one that can do it. Yes, I saw that play. It was fantastic. Oh, my God, the warrior spirit that both of them have. I mean, they don't quit. They're banged up, especially Josh. concussion possibly, hurts his knee, hurts his back, hurts his wrist. I mean, we're looking at football players, Stephen A., that are people from the past. I mean, Dick Butkus, Deacon Jones, people that will just get in your face and say, come after me, big fella. I'm going to knock you out. And real quick, Stephen A., do not change. Keep your position on Minneapolis. I can't wait to hear you on Cuomo again. Love when you're on. Oh, my God, you're so brilliant. You're controversial. Everywhere I turn, there's Stephen A. Smith. They're talking about Stephen A. Smith. They're talking about you.
They're also lying a lot about me, too.
Well, no, trust me.
And twisting stuff and saying stuff that I never said, but it's okay.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I won't let them. My buddy Josh Graham on Westwood One, we brought you up, and I will not. Everyone believes in you. My buddy Dave Shepard, Bart Winkler. No, don't quit being you. Do okay. not quit being Stephen A. You are the best. That's what
happen.
I like to hear. Give him hell.
Thanks a lot, my man. Appreciate you. Let's go to Dan in Dallas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Dan? How are you, man?
What's up, Stephen A.? Good. How are you doing?
Talk to me, bro. What's going on?
So I heard your Rex Ryan Cowboys take, and I think you're 100% right. There is no question that is the guy they need to bring in. My question for you is, you know, since Schottenheimer coached under Rex all those years and with the Jets, he was his OC, do you think Rex would be okay with, like, you know, them flipping roles and him being under Schottenheimer now?
Well, listen, I think he needs to be, because it's not like anybody's got – it's not like Rex Ryan's door is getting knocked down for people – for him to go coach people. You know, when you know, a lot of times in life you change when life forces you to change because the opportunities are not presenting themselves the way that you anticipated. Contrary to popular belief, you know, you could have people, you know, raving about stuff all the time. The opportunities ain't out there for everybody like that. Rex Ryan is an elite defensive mind, okay? He's my colleague at ESPN. I love him. I respect him. But he did not do the greatest job as a head coach, particularly in his last stop at Buffalo. Now, he did get the Jets to back-to-back AFC championship games. That's the last time they made the playoffs. But the flip side to that is that it was clear that their defense is what got them there, not their offense. And so as a result of it, you got to look at, if you're Rex Ryan, there's nothing wrong with being seen as an elite defensive coordinator. Look at Vic Fangio. Even though he got outsmarted on a couple of plays by Kyle Shanahan yesterday. Look at Vic Fangio and the respect that he conjures in the National Football League because of his brilliance as a defensive mind. You have to look at that and say there's nothing wrong with that. If I'm Rex Ryan and any team calls me, but especially if it's the Dallas Cowboys, if I'm Rex Ryan, you damn right I take that job. Rex Ryan should be somebody's defensive coordinator because of his mind, his strategies, his how he is schematically, and most importantly, his temperament. How he is what a defensive coordinator is made of. Yes, he is.
I agree.
He is what a defensive coordinator is made of. Go ahead.
If Jerry is serious about wanting to win championships, you know, before it's all said and done, he'll bring in Rex Ryan as their DC.
I don't mind that.
Gotta make it happen.
I don't mind that. I don't think you're wrong with that. Not at all. Appreciate the call. Greg in Richmond, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Greg?
Loud and clear. Rich Stephen A. Rich from Virginia, two up, two down. How you doing,
my What's brother? Going on, bro? Talk to me.
Hey, I heard you, man. I couldn't wait to call you a talk show. I saw you on First Take this morning, and I couldn't believe it. I said, this dude is really tripping. But I'm glad when you came on your talk show, you cleared it up and said he was fronting. And I respect what you said, man, by fronting. I would give you that. I appreciate you being honest about that, man. I appreciate that.
Well, it's just the truth. Houston's defense, I'm still trying to figure out. Aaron Rodgers turned 42, by the way. He's not 41. He's 42 years old. I mean, I'm struggling to figure out how the hell they're going to score.
Well, look, let me ask you this. I know Houston don't really have an offense. They had no running game.
That's true. Pittsburgh. Well, that's why they can win.
Everybody healthy on Pittsburgh besides Darnell Washington.
Right.
And this is why we brought Aaron Rodgers here. Like, the bad man.
That's true. But I got to tell you this, man. You bring up Darnell Washington. I'm going to miss him. I like him. Yeah. I like how he run over people. I'm going to miss him with the Steelers and the Steelers lineup as an offensive weapon. But Freiermuth is no scrub. Freiermuth is a bad brother. He can play. And so you got him out on that damn field, and you're going to need all of them. You're going to need him. You're going to need Gainwell. You're going to need Warren, rather. You're going to need DK. You're going to need Thielen. You're going to need Valdez Scantlin. You're going to need Austin. You need everybody. And, oh, by the way, you're going to need some additional protection. If you can sneak it, you can't do it. I'm being facetious, of course. But if you can sneak allowing people on the field, maybe 12, 13, 14 different people, you can get away with it. Use them, too, because, damn it, that's what you're going to need to protect Aaron Rodgers from those monsters led by Anderson and Hunter. I'll tell you that much. You're going to need all the help you can get. They coming for them.
Quick question. If we lose this game, do Tommy guys have anything to worry about?
Yes. I love Mike Tomlin. I do. But that will mark 10 years since you won a playoff game.
Right.
And I will never advocate Mike Tomlin's being fired. I got too much love and respect for that man and what he's done in his career to be that way. But what I will say is that we have to keep it a buck and be honest that if it were anybody else and they hadn't won a playoff game in 10 years, what would we be saying? I'm not doing my job if I don't ask that question.
Right.
I'm not doing my job. And so that's really what that comes down to. And speaking of coaches, I want to say this as an aside before I go to break. And I thank you for the call, man. I thank you for the call, Greg. I don't understand something. Somebody help me out here. I understand, you know, I make fun of Matt LaFleur because, you know, the way that his name is spelled, like he's from France or something. You know, he's like French, right? I'm just having fun with it. But I respect that man. I respect him as a coach, and I respect the job that he's done in Green Bay. Yeah, you lost a 15-point lead. That's not good. But life ain't the same without Micah Parsons. Let's just call it what it is. And since Micah Parsons was out, what has that defense been like in terms of pressure, in terms of getting to the quarterback? And, you know, I mean, we haven't heard much from Rashawn Gary since Micah Parsons went down. But my question to y'all would be this. How are you even discussing, which was the case this morning until Adam Schefter broke the news that Green Bay was talking with Matt LaFleur and trying to work out an extension, and it's believed they'll be able to work something out in order for him to stay. I'm trying to figure out, how are we sitting up there talking about Matt LaFleur might have to go, but automatically John Harbaugh jumps to everybody, the front of everybody's list. John Harbaugh can coach. I respect him. If he gets another head coaching job, I'm certainly not going to sneeze at that. John Harbaugh can coach. I get it. But he hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2012. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl since that time. And he's had Lamar Jackson for the last 7.5 years. And only went to one AFC championship game. How the hell is he leapfrogging to the front of everybody's list like he's some savior? He can coach. He deserves to be a head coach in this league. But I'm not getting rid of Matt LaFleur for John Harbaugh. And I'm going to tell you something else. When I think about John Harbaugh and a Mike Tomlin, I think about two dudes who were coordinators before they got their gigs. And in John Harbaugh's case, special teams. In Mike Tomlin's case, a defensive coordinator, but for only like a year or so. And the Steelers made a bet on him. What happened to the organizations doing that? Why does everybody have to be somebody that's established? I understand what New England did with Vrabel, but because Vrabel was at Tennessee all of those years. But Vrabel is also one of them. He's one of their own. He's a guy that helped New England capture a couple of Super Bowl championships. So he's a home product in their eyes. Knows the organization, knows the people, has a personal relationship with the owner and the offensive coordinator and the owner's son. Stuff like that. I get that. I get that. And by the way, the New England Patriots have won 14 of their last 15 games, only losing to Buffalo. But here's my point to y'all. What happened to people thinking about a Liam Cohen, a McDonald, and people like that, and looking at the job they're doing, and even a McVay, who got the job as a coordinator? What happened to some new, fresh blood? Why would you go, if you're Green Bay, and you go from LaFleur to Harbaugh? Why? Why can't it be somebody like McDonald? Why can't it be somebody like Liam Cohen? Why can't it be a D'Amico Ryan who came from San Francisco as a defensive coordinator? How come it can't be a McVay, who was an offensive coordinator before he came to the Los Angeles Rams? How come it can't be that? Why I got to be somebody that was coaching in the National Football League for 18 years and ain't been to a Super Bowl since 2012 when Colin Kaepernick was playing and leading San Francisco to the Super Bowl berth? Why can't it be somebody new instead of one of these older retreads? I'm not saying that John Harbaugh don't deserve a head coaching job. I'm talking about replacing Matt LaFleur. You want to replace Brian Daboll in New York? That's different. You want to replace Raheem Morris in Atlanta? That's different. But to replace Matt LaFleur in Green Bay and your answer is John Harbaugh? That don't make sense to me. That don't make sense to me. What are we going to do next? Mike Tomlin loses tonight in the playoffs and he decides to move on, or he and the Steelers mutually agree to move on. We going to say John Harbaugh needs to be a candidate. They should consider for that one too. What the hell is going on? It makes no sense. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call up. Back with more of your calls in a minute. You're listening live to Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Stepping away from sports for a quick second, I wanted to take a moment to give some love to Tiana Taylor. She is the former wife of NBA player Iman Shumpert. She's somebody that I've known indirectly through Iman for years, and she won a Golden Globe Award last night. Real proud of her, really happy for her. Wonderful actress, got a lot of talent, and all the best to her moving forward. It's a big, big, big time moment for her last night. And the stars are just going to shine on her brightly moving forward, and she's going to get a lot of opportunities moving forward in her career and in her life, and it is going to be very, very, very well deserved. All the best to her. Once again, I only knew her because of Iman Shumpert, who played in the NBA, played for the Knicks and various others, and she's always just very, very kind and sweet to me. And I just wanted to say congratulations to her. She's in the Netflix new series, The Rip. So check it out. Check her out. You're listening live to Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a football analyst coming on at Max Starks coming on at the top of hour number two. So looking forward to talking to him. But before that, we'll get back to the phone calls at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Let's go to Sean in Massachusetts. I knew you'd call. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm in a very, very good mood today, Stephen.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you are.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Before I get to my 2 points, first of all, I want to give credit to the Carolina Panthers, the way they fought, especially against the Rams.
Great
game.
The
future's bright over there.
Great game. Great game. I was scared to death. I was really, really scared to death that Carolina was going to win this game because I didn't want them to win because they would probably end up in Seattle and then we wouldn't have a good game next week. So by them losing, L.A. gets to go to Chicago, which I think is going to be a very good game because Matthew Stafford is definitely going to put up some points. And then, of course, San Francisco got to go back to Seattle. And I hopefully they'll make it a better game this go-round. So we'll see.
So, yeah. But I'm obviously going to be talking about my Patriots. The defense, especially the front seven of the Patriots, harassed Justin Herbert all night long, especially in that second half. And it's nice to see that Milton Williams is earning his 4 years of $104 million with those sacks. And I think that if they continue to play like that, they're going to be a tough out in this AFC.
Well, I will tell you this, though. I'm worried. I don't want to see New England in the Super Bowl this year. I don't think their offense is good enough, and I think they'll make things boring because their defense is legit. They're exceptionally well coached. They'll do enough to win, but I don't want to see a boring Super Bowl. But they are worthy of it. New England Patriots won 14 of their last 15 games after a 1-2 start. Okay, they are legit in every sense of the word. They were all over Justin Herbert. At some point in time, I'm looking at Justin Herbert and I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh. Listen, what the hell is up? The man is, it is his sixth season. Justin Herbert still hasn't won a playoff game. Chargers have been They've been outscored 48-15 in losing both playoff games under Jim Harbaugh. That is not what we expected when this man departed from Michigan to come back to the NFL. We expected better from Jim Harbaugh. We ain't seeing that right now. So they're going to have to figure that out, okay? Yeah. Because Justin Herbert, I mean, again, he was sacked 6 times. So there's only but so much he can do if you can't protect him. That much is true. But at some point in time, if you are what we thought you were, you got to figure something out to be more competitive than that. It's not even that you lost. Like, we think about it. We're not lamenting Jacksonville today. They lost 27-24. It was a good game, but Josh Allen pulled it through in the end. But when you're the Chargers and you cross the country, you go across the country, and all you can score is 3 points? Three? That's it? That's very disappointing. No doubt about it.
I will give them a pass because they were without Rashawn Slater Jr. and Joe Alt, their tackles. But they do need to fix stuff in the interior of the offensive line. My second point is this 2024 NFL, the quarterbacks coming out of the 2024 NFL draft, it's going to be an all-timer. Because what I saw with Caleb Williams against the Packers, and then Drake May, who didn't have the best showing, but got it done when he had to, it's amazing.
We're running out of time, Sean, so I got to go, but you're right. When you think about Jaden Daniels, when you think about Drake May, and then you think about them being 2 and 3, and then you look at Caleb Williams, he's number one. This could end up being one of the all-time drafts from the quarterback position. It remains to be seen, but it's possible. It's possible. Hour number two up next. More playoff talk to get into. Max Starks, by the way, an expert on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll be on the show with yours truly in a minute. Live from Pittsburgh, it's Stephen A. Back with more in a minute. Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you over the airwaves of SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Re-airs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. We'll get back to your phone calls in a little while. But right now, I want to talk to a man that's on NFL Radio. He's also a color analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Drafted by the Steelers in the third round of the 2004 NFL Draft, by the way. Played college ball with the Florida Gators. The one and only Max Starks is on the line with us right now. What's going on, big time? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm blessed today, Stephen A. Glad to be on the show, man.
Glad to have you. I appreciate your time. First order of business, I'm here in Pittsburgh. Did I waste my damn time coming to this city tonight because the Steelers have no chance, or do you give them a legitimate big-time chance to upend the best defense in football, these piranhas on the defensive side of the ball known as the Houston Texans?
You know, Stephen A., I don't think you wasted any air miles. I think these miles were put to good use tonight. I think this is going to be a hell of a game tonight. And I really do believe the Steelers, not only we're talking about mystique and the whole they haven't lost since the 90s, right, you know, on Monday Night Football, but the way this team has responded in the month of December, we haven't seen that in years. And I think that's the thing. They're not limping into these playoffs like last year with Russell Wilson. They're not limping into it or hopeful because of Mason Rudolph. That's the last 2 years they made it to the playoffs and the quarterbacks who started for them. But Aaron Rodgers combined with what this defense has done over the last month, and it's only gotten healthier, I think is why they're here, is why they're hosting, and why I think this is going to be a game. Nothing will compete with last week. Right, that was a game for the legends, right? That's going to go down in history. That's going to go down in the Baltimore Ravens Steelers lore. But this game is a statement game for this 2025-2026 Steelers and what they're going to do. I think the curse is finally over. I think Mike Tomlin wins his first game since 2016 in the playoffs, and they move on to the divisional round.
Well, let me ask you this. When I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, right, you say this ain't like years past where they limped in because you mentioned the quarterbacks, and I understand that. But outside of that, they did kind of limp in because you could have clinched a playoff spot by beating the Cleveland Browns a couple of weeks ago. But you lost that game, and then you put yourself in a must-win situation where it was win the game or go home for the rest of the season because the division crown was on the line against the Baltimore Ravens, and you ended up winning that game, and a lot of luck played a role into that as well. Why are you so confident that they're so different than what they've been?
I say this, and this is an axiom that goes back to, you know, my grandfather, Stephen A.
Okay.
And you can appreciate this statement. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Okay.
And that's what they had in that moment. What better way to end the season than putting down your most vaunted foe, who downed you two times a year ago. Remember, we went 0-2 between that last playoff, between the last game of the regular season and then when we saw them in the playoffs. Absolute embarrassment in those last two games.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to then send the Baltimore Ravens on 0-2 when it matters instead of it being academic in Week 18 for a storyline? And then what happened a couple of days after that game ended? We no longer have Harbaugh-Tomlin Ravens series anymore. Mm-hmm. So the significance of that moment, I felt, needed to happen. You know, some things need to happen when you talk about destiny for certain organizations and certain teams. That was a game of destiny. And I think had we have beaten the Browns, we would not have taken that game seriously in Week 18. And you could have had a letdown, started resting people, started looking ahead. No, that was a playoff game last week. That was the wild card round. That was like the first four in for, mm-hmm. you know, when they expanded the tournament to 68 in the March Madness. Mm-hmm. That's what that was. It was a momentum builder. I feel like this is where that leads to that crescendo. And I think you had to have that moment to get everybody in that Steelers locker room focused in and locked in on the job that they needed to do. Because like you said, you've got piranhas out there circling and you hungry and you a fisherman. So now you got to go fishing. And I think CJ Stroud and that defense, I love Will Anderson. I love what Danielle Hunter are doing off the edge. They are explosive defensively, but I think this is a team that's primed and ready, and they needed that focus of that victory in Week 18.
How are you going to score on a Houston Texans defense?
So here's what my key is. And this held true a week ago when we were talking about Baltimore.
Okay.
Jaylen Warren, Kenneth Gainwell have to touch the ball 30 times combined. I said it last week, and I'm going with it again this week because I think it holds true. When they touch the ball, whether running or passing, 30 times good things happen. And you start to see the damn crack. This team is not a team that's invincible. They're just really, really good. But they haven't been to Pittsburgh at night. They haven't been in colder weather at night in this 9-game win streak. And so they're going to have to contend with not only the conditions, but also the mentality of a night game in Pittsburgh. And as a younger team that's seen that success, and listen, I love D'Amico, played against D'Amico, you know, got family that's real close with D'Amico. And I love what the brother's doing. But I think for teams that are young and this veteran team on the other side in Pittsburgh, there's just certain things that they are just not equipped for mentally. And I think that is what is going to be a big difference. And Aaron Rodgers, fastest release in the NFL. What do you need to get a sack? You need time. Aaron Rodgers does not afford you that luxury. And I think the offensive line has stabilized and gotten better throughout the season. And Dylan Cook at the left tackle position has been an upgrade since the injury to Broderick Jones. And the way that they've worked together, they've figured out how to play with Spencer Anderson as that sixth offensive lineman and kind of working in that extra jumbo package type of role, which also they tend to do as well on the Houston side of the ball. And that is just something they now know who their identity is. And I think when teams don't know their identity going into the playoffs, that's when it can get a little shaky. But I think this team knows who they are. You run the football, you work the play action, and you don't run away from their best defenders. You run at those defenders. And I think with that and combined of going straight at Will Anderson, going straight at the edges and using a lot of the inside zone concepts, I think that's where the success is going to be.
We're talking to Max Starks, NFL Radio, Steelers color analyst, right here on Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Hypothetically speaking, let's go the other route. What if the Steelers lose tonight? What does that mean for Mike Tomlin's future in Pittsburgh?
I think his future is secured for at least another year. I don't think this is one where you get a Ravens type of response or even what Green Bay Packers are considering right now. I don't think you have that type of uncertainty. I think the cachet and the experience and the resume speaks for itself when it comes to Mike Tomlin. I think that's where you say this man gets to decide on his own terms when he wants to leave. And I think that is something that will be a decision up to him, not the organization forcing that issue.
Well, Max, what about the notion that Mike Tomlin might want to leave since we're weeks removed from Steeler Nation chanting in the stadium, fire Tomlin?
I think that's something that comes with the territory. When you're a Pittsburgh Steelers coach, and there's only been three, so we don't have a well-versed research study on this, but when you have the three – that have coached here for greater than 50 years. I think that's where it can come in, and that's a conversation he has to have with his wife, Miss Kia, and that's his decision. He raised all of his kids here, and he'll tell you about it. He's like, he was afforded a nice life here, and that would be something that it would be his own desire to leave. But I don't think it would be organizational pressure, and that's something that, you know, for Mike Tomlin, it seems like he still has a zeal. He still has the burst. He still has the fire. He still has that locker room. I think that's the other thing that people don't consider is that those players hinge on his every word. Those players follow his direction. How many times have we heard Aaron Rodgers talk about how great it is to play for Mike Tomlin and how he's wanted to do this, and he's glad that he came here and made that decision. I think those are all the things that matter, you know, as a coach and as a person, when you have to sit down and take stock of what you've done, which is always a reflective moment in the off season, and know that, no, I still have their ear. I still have the pulse of this team. And I think that's where people kind of get that confused. I mean, how do you spell fanatic? You got to spell fan first.
Right.
So fans are going to be a lot different in that. There's not going to be that sobering reminder or the more detailed nuances behind it. It's going to be, you know, his decision on how he operates, how these guys listen, how they respond to pressure. And I can say this season, they've responded to pressure very well. So I don't expect Mike Tomlin to yield to that type of external pressure. It would be an internal pressure, if anything.
It may not amount to anything, or I'm saying it may not mean anything, Max, or anything like that. But I recall weeks ago it at least being perceived that former star linebacker James Harrison had some critical things to say as it pertained to Mike Tomlin and his voice with the team and within that locker room or whatever. How did Steeler, you know, people internally and Steeler Nation overall respond to that? Because you guys know this a hell of a lot better than me or anybody else.
Yeah, and listen, I love Debo. I played against Debo in practice every day for 9 years. I love Debo. Debo's emotional. I mean, just like most defensive guys. I mean, let's just face it. You would know that working with one of my other
yes.
teammates on
yes.
a regular basis.
That's
They're
right.
They're emotional. They're impassioned. But listen, logic usually escapes defensive guys for the most part. You know, I'm an offensive lineman, right? We got to think about every angle. We got to know things better than everybody else. We got to understand what the field looks like. And I think for that, there was definitely a feeding frenzy, right? You know, a little chum got in the water. And it wasn't just Debo. It was a lot of my former teammates. Trust me, I was sitting there having to pull up the shield a couple times to defend the arrows because I started catching strays at one point because of my position. And I think that's what you have to deal with. And listen, they're former players for a reason. Things change, things evolve over the years. But I can tell you, after those chants, after that Buffalo game, how did that team respond? And a lot of arrows were thrown at Patrick Queen, too, remember?
Yep.
Patrick Queen was right there on that secondary level, and what did Patrick Queen do? Patrick Queen took that, put it in his pocket, saved it, looked in his Polly Pocket notebook before the game, and started wrecking fools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing happened. That narrowed the focus. It galvanized this team. You know, Mike Tomlin uses this phrase, iron sharpens iron. Well, sometimes it's your own iron that might sharpen you.
Right.
And I think that's what it did. Those former players coming out incensed this team. It pissed off Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward's been on a dang tear.
Mm.
Like, listen, his long arm stab, I don't know if any guard wants to face him. And I feel bad for Ed Ingram and company and Titus Howard tonight because they're going to have to deal with that grown man, old man strength.
Right.
That Cam Hayward's been flexing on people. And I think that's what's really galvanized them. They said, listen, our former Steelers are saying this. Man, we got to answer to the legacy. And we also let them know, hey, your time is done. This is our time now. All you need to do is shut up and cheer at this point and let us handle our job. And that's why I said they've been thriving over this December. Because I remember that game happened at the end of November. And we saw 4 out of 5 come in December and January after that. So I think this team responds well to adversity. And Aaron Rodgers never has back-to-back bad games. Hence, we saw it last week. And I think that carries on. There's lulls in between that. Last time we saw this was a Seattle game before that Buffalo game. And there was a good streak that went on after that. I think history tells us from this season that that's how this team operates.
Max Dartz, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now host on NFL Radio, and obviously he's color analyst for Steelers games right here with Stephen A., SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. If DK Metcalf, if the Steelers hadn't made the playoffs, if the Steelers had lost this game to the Baltimore Ravens after losing to the Browns, and he didn't, and the Steelers didn't make the playoffs, what would life have been like for DK Metcalf?
Life would have been a little tough. It would have been a little tough. I'm not going to lie to you, Stephen A. You know, they've seen this story play out before with wide receivers, and that's something that they go off of. Now, the good thing is it didn't happen, but it would have been a lot tougher for DK, and you would have had to sit on that until next season. The best thing we always talk about, right, and you can use this boxing axiom, right, you get knocked down, the first thing you want to do is get right back up and get right back at it, right? You want to go prove people wrong, and I think the chip that's going to be on DK Metcalf's shoulder tonight is going to be humongous. And trust me, the last thing you want to do is have to face a pissed off DK Metcalf. And I think that's, he learned his lesson. And obviously I think that suspension was a little extreme. I felt like he was made example of in that moment, because that should have, there's no way that shouldn't have been reduced down to one game, but it got upheld. Had to honor what the NFL said, even if I don't like it. But having that guy, I think he needed that moment to sit down and cool down and see everybody else around him and feel like that train's moving away from the platform and he's got to run and chase it. That's the feeling I think that's going to hopefully motivate him and keep him in tuned and in focused about what's at hand. And I think having a leader like Aaron Rodgers there, who's been there, done that, and seen that, will hopefully bring him back into the fold. You know, the one thing that I love about Aaron Rodgers is if a guy misses a pass, he's not scared to go back to you. And DK missed two games. And it's not like he's going to avoid him because, oh, no, everybody else around me's done this and you ain't been here. He's not like that. The one thing I can say about Aaron Rodgers, he is an inclusive quarterback and a very thoughtful leader on this team. And he wants to get everybody involved. He wants everybody to feel like they're a part of this team. And that's why he utilizes, if you come on that field as an eligible pass catcher, expect the football, you know, and he spreads the football around. And that's why I think it's going to be tough for the Texans to get a B, because he spreads it everywhere. Listen, Scotty Miller and Ben Skowronek are getting catches in games in meaningful moments. Adam Thielen, you know, was an afterthought in Carolina before he came here, getting catches in meaningful moments. That back shoulder fade that he caught last week in the Baltimore game was a perfect dot, and everybody gets shot. Heck, Spencer Anderson, our extra offensive lineman, got a catch this season. Everybody's in the stat books this season that's been eligible. So I think that's kind of how I look at this team. Everybody's an equal opportunity participant on this team, and he makes sure that he gets everybody involved in this game. So I feel like that type of leadership, unlike in a couple of years past, has been a completely different message. Now, Arthur Smith has to make sure he narrows his focus and doesn't get cute, and he keeps the main thing the main thing, but those type of elements are what we're talking about. And I've been on a number of different playoff teams and Super Bowl teams, and the basis, it gives me those feels. I've been a sixth seed and had to go all the way from the bottom seed all the way to the Super Bowl. I've been a two seed and a one seed, and things have been mixed reviews on that. In fact, Aaron Rodgers was responsible for one of those years. But those are the building blocks and the principles that I look at when I'm building and looking at playoff contention teams, and this is a Steelers team that looks like that, a team that plays for each other, and everybody's included. It's not an exclusive boys club.
So with that being said, how far do you expect the Steelers to go real quick?
I expect the Steelers to go at least to the championship game. You know, once you get to the championship game, all bets are off. But I think this is a team I feel like can go and compete against the Houston Texans. And we already know who is going to be in the next round in New England. We've been to New England. We played there. They're a different team. They're a tough, hard-nosed team, but a team very similar to Pittsburgh. And I feel like that's an opportunity. So I feel like at least the AFC championship game minimum.
Before I let you go on out of here, who's the best team in the AFC? In your, if you're watching, I mean, I'm asking you to shove the Steelers aside for a second and scouring the AFC. Who do you view as the best team in the AFC?
You know what? I mean, I would love to say it's Denver because of their defense, but I think it is New England. I think New England has a very similar DNA to what the Steelers are. And Mike Vrabel's a former Steeler. You know, so he understands a lot of this ethos, and that's also what carried on with Bill Belichick in New England. So I think very similarly, I look at that team, and it reminds me a lot of my 05 Steelers team, the one that went as a sixth seed. So I would say New England, slight advantage over Denver.
What about the NFC?
NFC, I mean, listen, I can't fight Seattle, man. Seattle has defied logic, and Sam Darnold, even when he's tried to sabotage himself, the mix of that defense, that run game, along with Sam Darnold, when he's on, he's on. I just feel like Seattle's just a different animal this year, and they've been like that all season. It hasn't been like, you know, I talk about the Steelers kind of ramping up in December. Seattle's been that since September. They have just been a tough, physical, hard-nosed team, and a team I would like to say I would love to see again, but I don't know if I'd love to see them again. But that's a team I feel like when you look at the NFC picture and you look at the uncertainty, I mean, who's gotten the number one power ranking week after week has always been tough. And that team's had a bullseye. And a lot of NFC teams have had that and lost it, a la Detroit Lions, L.A. Rams. Like, we've seen how teams responded. Even San Francisco at 1 week, I believe, had the number one power ranking at one point. Teams in the NFC and get that bullseye just don't get it. And Seattle's been overlooked all season. And finally getting into that as we get into this playoff push after what they did to San Francisco at the end of the season, finally put them on the radar because they're in the Pacific Northwest. And I think that type of just under the radar all year and finally rising to prominence, I think mm-hmm. leads to dominance.
Two quick answers I need from these last two questions. Who's your coach of the year?
Okay. Coach of the year, Vrabel. Got to give it to Vrabel.
Not Ben Johnson in Chicago?
I think Ben Johnson's great. But what Vrabel's done has been immaculate. Chicago had pieces to work with, and mm-hmm. they had a known number one overall pick. Drake May wasn't a number one overall pick. He was highly liked and even questioned a lot. But what New England's done has far outweighed what Chicago has done.
Who's the league MVP?
Ooh, league MVP? I mean, Drake May.
To me, it's easy. It's Stafford.
I don't know if I can give it to Stafford. I love what? Stafford. Stafford's been doing it at a large clip. Those games have been tight. He's made some mistakes as well. I feel like Drake May hasn't made the same amount of mistakes along the way, and they have a better record.
46 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in a regular season. All right, in a division that included both Seattle and San Francisco, and you would still say Drake May over Matthew Stafford?
Once again, I turn on the tape and I look at week to week, and Stafford's been great and had his highs and lows, and Drake May's just been steady Eddie the entire season. I think the consistency is what wins out, not the flash.
Hey, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. I appreciate the insight on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really, really hope they win tonight. You know, I'm a diehard Steelers fan. It's the first playoff game for the Steelers that I will have ever attended. I'm looking forward to tonight. I can't wait, and I appreciate your level of expertise, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, bro. Appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure as well. And hey, we will pay that off right. You might be the lucky charm tonight, Stephen A.
Yeah, I better be, because if not, I'm going to remind the audience that you told me that I was and it didn't work out. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks so much. One and only Max Starks, former offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now a host on NFL Radio and, of course, a color analyst for Steeler games as well. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more in a minute. You're listening live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Thanks again to Max Starks, former Pittsburgh Steeler, present-day color analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right here with Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Chris in Ohio. You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
How you doing, Stephen A.?
I'm all right. Talk to me. What's up? What's going on?
Question. If the Steelers lose, what is the quarterback situation next year?
If the Steelers lose?
Yes.
That's all contingent on whether Aaron Rodgers comes back. I don't know whether he's coming back or not. I know that if he comes back, the situation will be the same. If it's new, then if he leaves, then they got to go out and find another quarterback. And God help us if they can't, because then that means Mason Rudolph will be your quarterback.
Okay. So my thing was, like, why didn't they just keep Justin Fields? Because Justin Fields could have learned something from Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like he did pretty good when he played for the Steelers.
Well, you got to remember, Justin Fields got about $40 million. The Steelers weren't going to give him that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Really what it comes down to. They wasn't going to pay that money.
Wow.
That's all.
Is it safe to say that he had bad luck everywhere he went?
Well, he didn't look great in Chicago. He looked better in Pittsburgh, but not great. And even I thought he looked good enough, and he was winning football games in Pittsburgh. But Mike Tomlin and them saw something that we didn't see and decided to go with Russell Wilson. And then after that, he went to the New York Jets, where clearly it was horrific.
Yes, horrible.
And now I personally, sadly, I feel Justin Fields is psychologically warped, where his confidence is completely shot.
Yes. That's what I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I got to run, my man. Thank you so much.
Sir.
Take it easy. Corey in Illinois, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Corey?
What up, Stephen A?
You live on the air, my brother. Talk to me. What's up?
Yes, sir. Chicago Bears, Stephen. We've been talking about it all year long. Told you from the get-go that team plays as a team all four quarters. When one aspect of that team ain't playing, another aspect. They needed a big punt return in that end of the third quarter, and number 12 took that ball back to the other side of the field. They went down. They scored. This team is for real, Stephen A. They've made it this far. I'm not doubting them against the Rams this weekend in that cold weather with this momentum that this team has going on right now. If they can get past the Rams, it's a 50-50 ball game. And whoever they can play on the Super Bowl, Stephen A. This Caleb Williams is making throws.
I don't think it's 50-50 in Seattle. I think having to go on the road in Seattle. On the road in Seattle would be tough. Could they beat the Rams? Sure, but I'm not favoring them to do so because I think Matthew Stafford and that offense is going to put up points in bunches against Chicago.
And I seen one other thing about the Indiana team, Stephen A. There's a thing going on that Indiana is the oldest team in college football this year. They have the average oldest age of players from 23 to 25. Could that be a reason why they're so damn dominant, just kicking everyone's ass?
It could be that, but it has to be Coach Cignetti and how fundamentally sound they are. We can't ignore that. I mean, they just don't make a lot of mistakes. And one of the reasons why I think that they're going to be the prohibitive favorite, they are the prohibitive favorite in the national championship game, is not just because of how awesome they looked, but because of how interesting Miami has made it. Because Miami turned, they make a lot of mistakes. You got 10 penalties the last game. You can't afford to do that against Indiana. You just can't. You can't afford to do that. You can't have Bain and Masador after registering 7.5 sacks and 9 tackles in the first two playoff games, going the next game, all right, and in the national semifinal, all right, and against Ole Miss, and they don't register a sack nor a tackle. You can't have that against Indiana. Everybody got to bring their A game for Miami in order for them to beat Indiana. Everybody.
It's safe to say Mendoza stamped that pick for the number one pick for the Vegas Raiders.
It's the closest thing to a guarantee. The only thing that's a better guarantee than that is that my hairline's receding. And that ain't going to never change.
Good luck to your Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, man. Holler at you later on, brother. God bless.
All right, man. Take it easy. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Garland in Houston. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Garland? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Stephen A.
No problem.
Hey, real quick, well, I got a good buddy of mine that says he hopes to see you. He says you that he knows you, and he cuts your hair every time you come to San Antonio. Now you have a reason to get back to San Antonio.
Okay.
His name is Jack.
Jack has cut my hair when I've been in San Antonio. Absolutely. Now, I've had no reason to be in San Antonio in many years. So that was a long time ago. So it's nice to know that Jack is still alive doing his thing. With Wembanyama there, I assume they're going to do some things. They got a chance. San Antonio's got a chance. I'll give that to them. Yeah. They really do. You know what? And I haven't been there in a while, so I don't mind seeing the Riverwalk again. I got tired of seeing that damn Riverwalk all them years they were winning. It was getting on my damn nerves because it was messing with my time in L.A. But now that it's been so long since they've been relevant, I wouldn't mind being back in San Antonio. It wouldn't bother me.
He told me to make sure the next time I talk to you, I let him.
He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He cut my hair. He's responsible. He's one of the people partially responsible for this receding hairline, though. You know that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? let's make sure we remember that.
I'm going to call him today and tell him that. Hey, listen. I want to make – I got a point. I'm a Denver Broncos fan. So that one guy that calls in, your one fan that calls in with that nauseating stuff about the Chargers, I need him to call in today. But I also want to make a quick point about Brian Flores going to the Baltimore Ravens. I think that if that happens, that would be their best opportunity for them to
I don't disagree with that. Brian Flores coaching the Baltimore Ravens, that wouldn't bother me. That wouldn't bother me at all. But you got to have an elite offensive coordinator. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, for example, are going after Mike McDaniels to be the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. All right? I think that when you look at Baltimore, they need somebody to rein in and hone in Lamar Jackson. You know, he's the superstar. He's box office. He's must-see. He's all of those things. But in the same breath, when John Harbaugh walked out the door, you can't be hearing stuff about Saturday meetings and being late or not showing up or, you know, sitting up in there eating junk food and stuff like that while the meeting's going on and just flexing and showing that he could do what he wants. That's not going to cut it on an NFL team because you got grown men up in there. Now, I want to be fair to Lamar Jackson. I don't know this to be true. I'm just telling you the kind of stuff that was being said once John Harbaugh walked out the door, that they didn't feel like the level of control that needed to be exercised was being exercised. All right. That might be wrong. I don't know. I can tell you that numerous NFL people were saying the same story. So that's something that we have to pay attention to and watch and monitor, because it either has to be somebody that relates to Lamar Jackson in such a way that he wouldn't think of being remotely disrespectful, assuming the story is true, or somebody that can exercise the kind of control that Sean Payton exercised once he got the Denver Broncos job. Remember all that noise you was hearing about Russell Wilson? And then Sean Payton came there and in his introductory press conference, he said, "Those days are over. That ain't happening here." Remember when he did that? You need a leader in Baltimore, evidently, that's going to be like that. Again, I want to emphasize, I don't know this to be true. I don't cover the Baltimore Ravens. I'm only telling you what NFL reporters consistently across the board was saying about what was going on in Baltimore once John Harbaugh was gone.
That's why I believe he would be the perfect candidate.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Get where you're coming from. 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Lamar in Baltimore. You're live with Stephen A. Are they there?
Hey, what's going on, Stephen A?
What's going on, man? Your name is Lamar?
Yeah, I'm Lamar from Baltimore.
Your name is Lamar, and you call on about Lamar.
What's up, bro? It's hard to pick up a piece of these days, man. Look, I'm a West Point grad. I'm an Army vet. Man, I love you, man. Love the show, but three quick points, maybe even four, man. Look, you're not the lucky charm in Pittsburgh, man. We know you'd rather be in Miami, L.A.
Hold on. Let me tell you something, man. That blasphemous statement that just came out of your mouth, my brother, I have to tell you, it's absolutely true. You're right. You ain't lying. I'll be damned if I wouldn't rather be in Miami than Pittsburgh today, as cold as it is here. You're absolutely right. You ain't lying. You ain't lying a little bit. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, bro.
Hey, we know you're a straight shooter. I got to keep it real. My first really point was this. You know, a lot of your callers are basically not good, man. Basically almost bad. I mean, I know you got the T-Loves, Bronco Bills. I heard the Boom Shakalaka. Which last hour we had on Sleepy Joe, man, calling in. You said speak up. And he just sounded the same sleepy way.
Listen, every show got about four or five callers, but most of the callers that call into the show are new. They ain't going to change the momentum because I'm here. I might tolerate it for 60 seconds.
You ain't going to change momentum. You're a straight shooter. You know what I'm saying? But Adam Schein got you beat. But you go from RC Cam, Swaggoo, Chris Rousseau in the morning, then you go to Sleepy.
Everything. Saying Adam Schein got me beat ain't no insult. He's been doing it for years. He's done a fantastic job. I love him dearly. I love the job that he does for Mad Dog Radio Sirius XM every morning. And you know Doggy's my Doggy's my dog. So, yeah. It ain't no division here. We teammates.
I didn't say that word.
Yeah. So just call. I mean, you entitled to your opinion, but I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's why, because I'm on the line. Last point, that's the point I wanted to make real quick, man. I heard you talking about John Harbaugh last week. First of all, you love the fact that you give a monologue and you hold people to the standard. That's what I'm saying, holding people to the standard. Why people calling in about the Sixers, about the Knicks, about the Bucks? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a monologue about the the football. You know, John Harbaugh last week, I heard you. He had mentioned in this last call, too, John Harbaugh didn't fumble or drop those passes. You know, Sirianni didn't drop four of those balls yet.
That's yesterday.
The pressure is now on a lot of the coaches to win a Super Bowl. Now, Brian Flores get hired, Vance Joseph, anybody come in Baltimore, they got to win it in 3 years. You know, Harbaugh got fired and then got 7 phone calls the next day. That's like if your producer, who I like to talk to him about, you know, quick couple seconds, and he gets fired tomorrow and he gets 8 calls from, you know, CNN and, you know, wherever across the network. So I think that, you know, the pressure is on the coaches right now to win the games. But I do believe that we need a good leader. I love Lamar. He's great for the city. And the last thing, I seen what you did with Gary Brecker and the fitness journey you had. You know, a lot of people call up, man, and give you all the praises and you give all the love like you did my man Mad Dog and Adam Shine. You know, I love even the morning man, I love them too. You know what I mean? Yeah, Katie Nolan, can't forget about her and fan service. You know, I love the network. But I seen what you did with Gary Brecker, so I wanted to give you credit for that. I hope you're staying with it, man. And if you're going to San Antonio, get your hair cut, man.
Hey,
make sure
I'm
that
good,
you know, you're easy on the headline now.
There we go.
Don't be Jaylen Brown out here.
You get, man, they can mess with me about my hairline all they want to. I'm almost 60. I got a better hairline than some athletes I see in their 30s. I'm good. Appreciate the call, Lamar. Thanks so much. Let's go to Al in Georgia or AI in Georgia. You're live with Stephen A. What's going on?
Hey, Stephen, it's AJ.
AJ. I'm sorry. I look like an eye. My apologies. It's AJ. Go ahead, AJ.
Hey, no problem at all. Hey, love the show. Love everything you do. I still think you're the best to ever do it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Thank you.
But between me and you, man, as a huge Steeler, lifelong Steeler fan, I'm getting nervous, man, because I feel like if we lose this game because Tomlin's too loyal to these coordinators that aren't that good, in my opinion, I feel like it's going to cost him his job if we lose tonight, and I feel like this man's going to end up in Philly somewhere, and he's going to do great. You know what I mean? He's going to be great no matter what he does. I know he's a great leader of men. I will never take that away from him. And one more thing, real quick, after you give me your opinion on that. Hey, can you do me a favor and ask Cam about that Big Breeze comment he was saying about the Big Ten? You ask him about that for me when you see him, please?
I did. What do you want me to ask him?
About the Big Breeze comment, how the Big Ten is a big breeze, I think is what he said. That's what he said. We're about to be national champions 3 years in a row.
Cam loves the SEC, and he's comparing everything to the SEC. So his mentality is Michigan and Ohio State and possibly Indiana. All right, nah, it was a nice 3-year run. But y'all ain't been this relevant for a decade the way the SEC has. That's his position, decade plus, rather. That's his position. I don't say I'd agree with it, but that's how he is. And then he admits he's biased. So all of that stuff goes out the window.
Saban's gone now, Steven. Saban's gone now, so that's over.
Do you have to remind us? You think we didn't know Saban's been gone? Have you seen Kalen DeBoer the last 2 years? Who the hell don't know Saban is gone? You understand?
Gone.
You know, I got you.
The new Saban. Sorry.
I appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more to close out the show in a minute. You're listening live to Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Don't go away.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
The national championship of the college football playoff is set between Miami and Indiana. And in the NFL, we're recapping Wild Card Weekend and the latest coaching headlines. We are talking football right now on NFL Radio, Channel 88, and Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. College Sports Radio has college football covered on Channel 84, and Fantasy Football Talk is on Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87, or listen on the SiriusXM app. Also, every Wild Card game is on SiriusXM tonight at 8:15. Eastern, the Pittsburgh Steelers host the Houston Texans. Listen to the Steelers broadcast on Channel 81 or 225. The Texans broadcast on Channel 83 or 226. And the national broadcast on NFL Radio, Channel 88. You can also listen to all the action on the SiriusXM app. Just search Steelers and Texans. Back to the phones we go. 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. By the way, props to the New England Patriots holding the Chargers to 3 points. Wanted to say that. Props to the Jacksonville Jaguars on a wonderful season that they had. You lost, but you didn't lose by scoring just 3 points. You did put up 24. You just lost to Josh Allen. Okay? And then on this side, I got to give major props to the Carolina Panthers. I did not expect them to play that competitively against the Los Angeles Rams. You know, Bryce Young, the brother, I mean, he looks like mini-me out there compared to these monster football players. But the brother showed up. okay? And it was a hell of a game. But the imminent league MVP, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Matthew Stafford showed up in the clutch and handled his business and did what needed to be done. So that's what happened. That's why the Los Angeles Rams are advancing. They go to Chicago. If the Chicago defense in the first half is what we're going to see this weekend, the Rams are going to the NFC Championship game. If the defense is what we see in the second half, who the hell knows? The Iceman cometh, Caleb Williams. He's already there. Appropriate name. Not just because it's him and he has, you know, ice cold in his veins, but also because he's in Chicago and it's freezing as hell this time of year. But Caleb Williams is doing his thing. So major love and credit to him, no doubt about that. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Boy Blue in Memphis. Talk to me, man. You're live with Stephen A.
What's going on, Stephen A?
You're live on air.
Should be fine. Ed policy should not extend him. How do you be 18 points and you give up the game? I've been sick to my stomach, Stephen A. I've been sick to my stomach since Saturday night. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You can't find a play. You can't find a play at all, Stephen A.
Yeah, that's
you,
true.
You can't. Come on now. You know your defense is suspect. You know they can't
especially
stop nobody
the, and especially the way Romeo Doubs was playing, too. He was catching everything he threw in his direction.
That's what I'm saying. And then he couldn't even manage the clock, Stephen A. Couldn't even manage the clock.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you let him go for John Harbaugh, though. You feel me?
I'm with you.
I don't know if you do that.
He can't close, Stephen A.
Yeah.
He always have these and he don't know how to close. There's no way we shouldn't have won that game. This is what they pay you for, Matt LaFleur. This is what they pay you for to beat Chicago. You went 1-2 against them.
He's been beating Chicago until this year. He's been beating Chicago until this year. And Ben Johnson has no love for him at all. Zero.
At all. What was the run game there, Stephen A? What was the run game? Non-existent.
No doubt about it.
Who do you got tonight? Who do you got tonight? Pittsburgh or Houston? I got Houston.
Man, I'm picking the Steelers, man, but it's just emotion. I'm very, very worried about Houston's defense and Aaron Rodgers being a stationary target. I know he gets rid of the ball quick. I get that part. But in order for the Steelers to make some noise offensively, he's going to have to hold on to it a little bit longer, throw the football downfield, because with the speed and the exceptional tackling on the part of the Houston Texans, I don't see them, you know, throwing screen passes and all night long and getting first downs and moving the football down the field, moving the chains under those circumstances. I just don't see it. They're going to have to throw the ball and create some space and establish a deep threat. And I don't know if you can do that against this defense, man. I really, really don't. But I'm praying I'm wrong. I really, really am. And I'm just picking the Steelers because I'm a Steelers fan. It's nostalgic. And damn it, I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm not picking against them. I'm praying that Aaron Rodgers finds a way. That's where I'm at with it. And I do think that the Houston Texans offense is vulnerable. They're not that great. You know, they aren't. So I do think that bodes well for the Steelers. Appreciate the call, though. Thank you. Joe and Callie, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Joe.
How you doing, Stephen A?
How are you? Thank you for calling us up.
Yeah. I called you last Thursday, and I spoke upon Shanahan's excellent coaching job this year, and I think it's one of the best coaching jobs he's done since he took over the Niners.
You're right.
And I also spoke upon Robert Saleh's mad scientist when it comes to defensive schemes and motivating them boys to play as good as they've been playing. And you broke it down on how the Seahawks beat us up and there was no chance of us walking into Philly and winning. And I said, we had a heart of a lion and don't doubt us. And you got upset and said, you know what? Call me on Monday. Well, I'm calling you on Monday, Stephen A. And I'm loving it.
Okay. All right. That's fair. You're right. 49ers showed me something. I really didn't believe they were going to beat the Eagles. I really, really didn't. I'm shocked, but it's a credit to Shanahan and his brilliance. But also Kevin Petula, the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, certainly helped a lot in that category, because you can't be more transparent and more predictable as an offense than the Philadelphia Eagles were yesterday. It's just bad, and I believe he will lose his job. If not today, then definitely by tomorrow. The Eagles will be looking for a new offensive coordinator. There's no doubt in my mind. Let's move on to the next call. Let's go to Jeremy and Callie. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Jeremy? How are you?
Hi, Stephen A., thank you for taking my call. Hey, to the Army veteran that just called you a few minutes ago, and you responded, I'm okay. You're not okay. You're great. You're absolutely great at what you do. And I wanted to make a quick point about Fernando Mendoza.
Sure.
Stephen A., you were talking about him earlier. I think one of the things that makes Fernando Mendoza such an elite quarterback, he's a cerebral quarterback. He's majoring, Stephen A., one of his majors is calculus. And this guy can think on his feet. He can put he puts two and two together and gets four every time. Not only does he have a howitzer for an arm, but I don't think people give him enough credit for having this brain that he's got. I mean, this is a serious-ass student. He's a serious athlete, and I think that's one of the things that makes him great. And you're great as well. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much. I will say this to you, though. You know, we got to look at something from this standpoint, okay? And we got to ask ourselves this question. And not to be answered today, but beyond. One of my producers just reminded me that the average age on the Indiana Hoosiers football team is 23 years of age. So you're looking good now. In the NFL, you'll be going up against grown men. In college football, you're going up against kids, okay? So, you know what, you can bring up calculus all you want to. I've seen plenty of brilliant student athletes throughout the years that were pretty damn smart, not just Fernando Mendoza. I mean, so I just think that it's important to bring that up. I'm not taking anything away from him because he's very impressive. But he ain't the first dude that came along that shows he's a brainiac, all right? And how do we know that's going to transfer to the NFL level in terms of what his level of production will be? I'm not saying he won't be great. I'm just saying I don't know, especially when you are on an experienced team, average 23 years of age in college, playing against cats straight out of high school. Just wondering. Just wondering. Jim in Atlanta, you're live with Stephen A. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm all right. You're live on air. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, you know, just a quick question. You know, Steeler fan lifelong, you know, and I'm sure it's been asked many times, but, you know, why does Tomlin get a pass year in and year out? And I know everybody on the media, on TV and everything else, well, he's never had a losing record. I get that. And, you know, being a Steeler fan, that's great. But, you know, when does it say, and I commend Baltimore for getting rid of Harbaugh. They came out and said it in the media, if I'm not mistaken, where they said, you know, it was time. So when does somebody in Pittsburgh say after 20 years, and believe me, I love not having a losing season, but when does after 20 years somebody say it's time?
I've asked that question myself. Because I think that while I got love for him, Steeler Nation has every right to have trepidation about him. But you also have to take this into consideration as well. This is the Steelers organization that we're talking about.
And I understand
in 55 plus years, they've had three coaches. Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, and now Mike Tomlin. So this is an organization. Remember, Chuck Noll had a losing seasons for the last decade of his career in Pittsburgh before they let him go.
I understand.
We got to remember that. In Mike Tomlin's case, you don't have a playoff win, but you have had winning seasons.
But can you at least admit after 20 years, maybe with the same guy running the ship? Granted, I understand. Hey, lose, you know, does it get stale?
Yeah, we got to get ready to get off the air. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I love the guy, so I wouldn't let him go. But I understand why you feel differently and why Steeler fans would feel differently. You're absolutely right. I can't defend that. You ain't won a playoff game. You lose tonight. You still haven't won. It will be a decade, 10 years since you have not won a playoff game. That's not good. That's not good. And that gives everybody a right to say, hey, when we go move in a different direction. That's it for this edition of Stephen A. Smith Show. I'll be on Monday night NFL Countdown before the game tonight. Steelers-Texans. Check me out. See you tomorrow. Peace of love.